are mine. Take a chance, I'm the first in line. Take a chance, honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me. If you need me, let me know. Gonna be around. If you got no place to go when you're feeling down. If you're all alone, when the pretty birds have flown, honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me.
We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
Pasco Gibson, Baghdad, Florida. Good morning. I'm here before you this morning in regard to my former position as chairperson of the Marine Advisory Board, a position that I did not resign from. The evening before the last meeting of the Marine Advisory Board, while looking for the minutes and the agenda for review, I found an email from Commissioner Smith relieving me from my position on this board. A position that I had served for over 15 years. I knew nothing of this prior to this email. I'm a waterman and a stakeholder regarding our waters, and I'm on the water every day or the waterfront and have been my entire life. I enjoyed serving on this board. I feel like I was an asset to this county. I just want to go on record this morning making the statement that I did not resign from this position. Thank you.
So, that sets the stage for Act One of today's Opera of Drama from the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting. This is from Monday's meeting, which is the committee meeting. That's the agenda review is what you might think of it if you know other scenarios or other bureaucracies. And Pasco Gibson was the guy who was taken off of the Marine Advisory Board by Kerry Smith, who is the county commissioner for district. Oh, gosh, I got to think about this a little bit. One, two. He's district two because he's replaced Bob Cole. That's like the Milton area. And so, remember all of this drama about how, he was taken off and then how this woman was put on who's a marine biologist and is maybe allegedly anyway a Democrat. And James Calkins says, well, I'm never going to put a Democrat up on a board. And I think this whole county's with me. And we had all of this crazy nonsense about it. Well, the nonsense is back. Starring the main focal feature of today's soap opera, of course, James McCawkins.
Mr. Pasco Gibson, and this gentleman served on the Marine Advisory Board for 17 years. He's known as Captain Pasco Gibson. He knows more about our waterways than anybody probably in this county, this board and the Marine Advisory Board. And he was chairman, as we just found out today. He did not resign. He was technically fired. Well, what I would like to know is why.
Well, he wasn't fired exactly. He was removed from the board. Removed can mean a lot of different things, but certainly, fired is a bit of a strong terminology, but, never mind nuances in language for James McCawkins, okay? But then he goes on and talks about what Kerry Smith said in the meeting, which was that he had scheduling issues. That was basically the gist of what Kerry Smith had said. He took him off there because he had scheduling conflicts.
And I also would like to say that on the May 25th meeting, Commissioner Smith said, in reference to Mr. Pasco Gibson, he said he's sitting as a chair right now. His schedule gets very challenging to him. Well, that was not true. That was misleading this board.
Uh-oh.
I had thought at the time that the gentleman did resign, didn't want to be a part of that. Well, it has been just revealed that that is not true. And I don't believe this board would have taken that vote if they would have known that this gentleman was technically fired.
Well, in fairness, it's hard to know what the board would have taken a vote on if they, if they had been fully informed the way he says. But, okay, so now we have a controversy, right? Pasco Gibson, in his comments, seemed to be saying that he didn't understand why he was taken off and it was kind of a shock to him, and that he wanted to stay on the board and wishes he could still be on it, even though it sort of seemed like, the way Kerry Smith said, it was more of a request to be removed because of scheduling issues and an inability to attend the meetings is sort of the gist of it. And now James Calkins is saying, well, you know, okay, what's the real truth here? Because he was fired. I don't think that's the right term, but okay, fine. He was removed from the board. And then he goes through and he reads the ordinance and he says, you know, you can remove somebody by a vote of the board. You don't have to have a reason, which is true. And typically the commissioner gets to pick who they're going to pick. And, you know, Bob Cole's guy stays there until Kerry Smith puts a new person on. If he wants to keep the old person, he can, but doesn't have to really give a reason for putting a new person on because you get to pick your people. And then he comes to this, which is what he wants to have happen.
Considering he just came up here, I believe that we need to reinstate him because he wants to serve. And so I want to see if there's any, you know, support from fellow commissioners for that. I think it's very important that we reinstate this gentleman back on the board. And so that's what I'd like to say.
So at this point, the two things, one unsaid, one said, is James Calkins wants a Republican. Okay. And he also feels like, you know, he was lied to about the reasons that Pasco Gibson was removed. And again, typically you can remove who you want to remove and, you know, it's at the pleasure of the commissioners, kind of the way this works. But okay, so that's where his argument stands. Sherry Chapman.
It would be real nice if we didn't air our laundry in these meetings. James, it seems to be a goal of yours to cause contention. And I know y'all can't talk to each other outside the meetings, but the manner in which you do it today is inappropriate.
She goes on.
If you want someone on the Marine Advisory, you can put them on there. Everybody has a person that they can have to represent them. But to dog any other commissioner, it's becoming a habit.
You know, and what's interesting is there's been maybe one time out of 10 where Sherry Chapman speaks and I'm agreeing with her. But not like the last two times in a row. You know, it's kind of weird, but okay, here we go.
You have people come up here that you've talked to ahead of time. They tell us after the meeting that they've talked to you about what they're supposed to come up here and say. And as a citizen, I'm really tired of the contention that it causes.
Aren't we all?
So I'd like for you to grow up. I'd like for you to handle it the way everybody else handles it, through the administrators, and quit bringing it to these meetings to look like this is a dog and pony show. And I am speaking directly to you because you are the number one offender.
Technically, I don't think a dog and pony show is what she means, because that's when you demonstrate something that you're in development of. But yeah, still, you get the point, okay? So Calkins tries to defend it by saying, well, I didn't do nothing. I didn't say nothing. I'm not even the guy who spoke.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Chair, I would like to say that this was not brought up by me. This was brought up by the gentleman who was fired today at this meeting.
I didn't do nothing.
What I want to ask is, what was his crime? What did he do wrong?
You don't have to have a crime
to be fired.
You don't get fired.
He did nothing wrong.
You just get removed.
And I think that we as a board need to right this wrong. We need to do the right thing.
We need to right this wrong. Look, if the new commissioner gets to put their people on, that's just the way it works. It always works that way. So the notion that there's somehow got to be a crime or a reason or whatever. And so I can see at this point in the conversation, you're still kind of opening up for the possibility that maybe Calkins has something going for him. But then we learn. Sam Barker, who makes the comment, he says, look, we give a lot of discretion for these board appointments. That's true. Sam Parker says, I'm glad that nobody said anything negative about Pasco Gibson, because we don't need to be getting up here and doing what Mayor Heather Lindsay and Milton called an autopsy of people's resumes and airing all of the dirty stuff about them and telling all of the reasons why. And Sam just says, look, there were issues with attendance.
I'll be the bad wolf on this item. To really to spare you from having to say it. public record indicates that Mr. Gibson has been an absentee from numerous meetings during my time on the board. It was an issue prior to Commissioner Smith ever being elected.
So he's missing a lot of meetings. And if you miss a lot of meetings and you're a member of the board, of the whatever it is, in this case, the Marine Advisory Board, well, you can't keep staying on the board, especially if you're the chairman. Because if you're not there, then you don't make quorum, and votes don't happen, and business doesn't take place. And that's the problem.
Commissioner Smith was appointed to the Marine Advisory Board when I was a commissioner before he was elected by me, because I said, you know, there's not really many people I know, truthfully, that spend more time on the water than Commissioner Smith, and he's a subject matter expert in my opinion. That hasn't changed. And I still remember him actually voicing major concerns that these were big issues being voted on by that board, and this particular member was absent to meetings, and it would fall to where they didn't have a quorum. So this has been a long-standing issue.
So it's not a character issue. It's not a lack of knowledge issue. It's not that he's a Republican or a Democrat or anything like that. It's just that he hasn't shown up to the meeting. So Kerry Smith was trying to be delicate about this. You know, he doesn't do his job. And I don't know the man. He might be fantastic in every other way, but according to the record, okay, according to these fellows, it's public record, he doesn't show up at the meetings. According to Kerry Smith, they had 1 year where they could only even have two meetings of this board because people weren't there. Quorum wasn't present. And this has been a nagging. It's always a problem, okay, in these governmental boards where the volunteers don't show up. Okay, how do you get volunteers to do their job? Sometimes they show up a lot, and sometimes, like in this case, you know, they just don't show up, and that's an issue. So, look, I can't put him on there. You know, I can't put him back on the board, certainly. Maybe in the future if he kind of changes, he didn't say repents, but that's kind of what he meant. Like, if he could kind of, you know, get a better sense of his schedule and show up, then fine. I don't want to have to say this publicly. I wish I didn't have to say this publicly, but, you know, Commissioner McCaukins kind of forced us. You know, like, he's the one who's put us in this position of having to air all of this stuff. So, you know, they're all like, well, we tried to be diplomatic about this. But now it's all over, right? Let's move on.
Go ahead. I don't want to be rude and cut you off. I think this is a dead horse at this point.
Oh no. Nothing is too dead of a horse for Commissioner James Caulkins.
I appreciate it. And thank you for y'all's comments. I want for the record to show that now you all know what happened, that Mr. Pasco Gibson was fired, and let the record be shown that a good qualified Republican was fired.
Oh, no.
And a Democrat was replacing a Republican. And I think that's wrong. I think the citizens of Santa Rosa County will not agree with what this board has done.
So you would have thought the answer from Commissioner Caulkins would have been, oh, well, that makes sense. I guess I was wrong. Thank you for telling me. Now I can see why we made this decision. Oh, no. No, we still got a Republican. We got to get up on his board, even though he doesn't show up to the meetings. I don't care about all of that. I moved to put him back on that board. And you could hear the crowd was just in stunned disbelief, as was I. Like, really? I mean, are you really? You've got to be kidding me.
I firmly disagree with the stance. We had an opportunity right now to reinstate Captain Pasco Gibson, a well-qualified gentleman that was fired.
Oh my God.
And replaced with a Democrat.
Just like, what?
All right. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to reinstate Pasco Gibson to the Marine Advisory Board.
All right. Motion dies for lack of a second.
Thank you. I tried.
Yeah. Motion dies for lack of a second. There you go. There's your Santa Rosa County Commission recap from Monday. 524 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
I can't wait for what's next. Even with higher stroke risk due to atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem, Eliquis, apixaban tablets, reduces stroke risk. It's the number one cardiologist-prescribed blood thinner.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without talking to your doctor, as this may increase your risk of stroke.
Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or have antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or unusual bruising, or if you have tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. It may increase your bleeding risk if you take medicines such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Enroll today in summer or fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free. PSC offers over 350 scholarships and more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees in a format that best works for you. Plus, your education courses are guaranteed to transfer to Florida public universities. So don't wait. Register for summer or fall classes today online at pensacolastate.edu. Go here, get there, Pensacola State College.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. At New South Window, we bring the factory to you. Our windows and doors are made with quality in mind, and your products and installation are backed by our lifetime warranty. That's because New South Window knows the importance of single-source accountability. We believe in removing the middleman so you get more for your money. This is real factory direct. One company, one call, guaranteed for life. Get New South proud.
Buy two of our products and get the third free. Visit NewSouthWindow.com. New South proud.
Join Travis Thompson with Climatech of Professional Air, an American Standard heating and air conditioning independent customer care dealer in the Pensacola area, on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30. Join in as Travis discusses how you can lower your energy bill and create a healthy, comfortable home. Join him today at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Campbell's makes everything.
On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Sometimes when we each have breaks from what we have to do, we can join each other in the other studio. It's kind of fun.
That's right.
That's fun. All
You're
right.
Not Andrew McKay?
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
David Wayne.
The search for the missing sub designed to explore the wreck of the Titanic continues today. It's focused on an area where Canadian aircraft recently detected underwater noises. It's about 900 miles off the coast of Massachusetts. House Republicans voted to censure Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff of California for investigating alleged collusion between Russia and the Trump campaign. Wednesday's vote was 213 to 209. All Democrats voted against it. And about 100 people got hurt after being pounded with golf ball-sized hail at an outdoor concert yesterday in Colorado. Officials say fans were in the stands at the Red Rocks Amphitheater that was over near Denver Wednesday night for a Lewis Tomlinson concert. Apparently a big storm rolled in, began pelting everybody with big hailstones.
If you're at Red Rocks and a storm comes in, there's nowhere to go. There's nothing you can do except take it.
So you've been?
Oh yeah, my dad lives in Denver.
Right, I've always wanted to go.
It's a really amazing.
Yeah,
of course,
YouTube
made it famous, kind of sort of. But yeah, you know, if you're there and it starts happening, you just go to the car if you can get there. I mean, that's all you got. So. Wow, that's terrible. 529 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Mike Reese has taken four trips with Ocean Gate down below the surface, one to the Titanic.
I took four different dives with the Ocean Gate company. Three were off the coast of New York, and then the one to the Titanic. And every time they lost communication. That seems to be just something baked into the system. I don't blame Ocean Gate, but I think I blame deep water for that. That somehow it's hard to communicate through that. And at least sporadically or for moments, we lost communication.
So they always lose communication. Where do I sign up? No, he says he hopes this doesn't, you know, accidents, tragedies are going to happen, just like space exploration, deep water exploration. They know that in advance. They signed the waiver and they're aware, but he hopes it doesn't dissuade people from doing this in the future.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. An American journalist accused of spying in Russia, Evan Gershkovich, has his appeal denied in court, his detention extended to at least the end of August.
The U.S. ambassador has only been able to visit the 32-year-old once since he was arrested in March. Gershkovich and his employer, The Wall Street Journal, vehemently deny the charge that he's a spy. He's classed by the U.S. government as wrongfully detained.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. It's now 5 days since a sub taking tourists to the Titanic lost contact with its support ship. The Coast Guard estimates the sub, if it's still intact, has just minutes worth of oxygen left.
Coast Guard is focusing on locating the sub before it deploys anything that far under sea. And if they do end up rescuing the five passengers on board, it would be the deepest water rescue in history.
Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer. President Biden hosts India's Prime Minister Modi at the White House today. There's a state dinner this evening. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, it's 75 degrees, partly cloudy skies in Pensacola. Escambia County's sale of the OLF-8 property to developer D.R. Horton appeared to be a done deal, but Commissioner Jeff Burgosh now says two mystery entities might have thrown a wrench in the works.
We haven't signed anything. There's nothing signed yet. So if one of those other two entities comes forward with a better offer, I never want to presume to speak for my counterparts on the board. I'm my only spokesman for myself, not for them. But I would assume they would look favorably on such things.
The entities have not yet been identified. Burgosh has told Channel 3 they are local here in the area, and the county had appeared to be in the final stages of negotiation with D.R. Horton over the OLF-8 development. Escambia County says they provided D.R. Horton with a master plan of what they want and don't want on the property, and so far the final price and design has not been agreed on. Well, you can believe something, but you've got to be able to stand behind it, especially when it comes to criminal charges. That's the message from the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office, officially closing the book on their investigation into the alleged tampering of food at Nico Japanese Restaurant in Pace.
There was multiple employees at the restaurant, and everyone gave a little bit different accounts of the day or how their normal business was operated. Also, we had no surveillance footage in this case. It's believed to be that this system had been down since 2021. So what I would say is that businesses need to make sure that they invest in that, because that would have been crucial in this case.
And that is Major Roman Jackson, who tells Channel 3 that despite interviewing restaurant managers, employees, and the victims who got sick, there's just not enough evidence to determine probable cause. The Pensacola man that led troopers on a high-speed chase last year in a stolen car is going to serve 45 years in prison. Gregory Henderson Jr. was sentenced Tuesday after being found guilty on multiple charges, including aggravated assault on a law enforcement officer in May. Back on June 21st of last year, an FHP trooper tried conducting a stop in a parking lot in reference to a stolen car. Henderson rammed the patrol car, causing it to hit the trooper and fled the scene. A high-speed chase ensued. It only ended when troopers conducted a pit maneuver. At the time he was arrested, Henderson had over a dozen convictions on other felonies. 533, it's News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. Typical showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, high near 87 degrees, 50% chance of rain. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. We're going to be seeing our typical summertime pattern continue for your Friday with a 50% chance of rain, highs in the upper 80s, lows Friday night near 72. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, 74 in Pensacola, sunshine this morning, 75 in Gulf Breeze, 72 in Milton. Your next news at 6, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
When was the last time you experienced something new? Really new. Like driving an electric vehicle that will change how you think about EVs. Test drive the 2023 Volkswagen ID.4 EV at Beadmore Imports and see the smooth aerodynamic design that is so modern and sleek. You'll think you've driven into the future, and the quiet and powerful ride it delivers needs to be experienced to be believed. So stop by Beadmore Imports to experience something new like never before. And Beadmore Imports fills out their lineup of SUVs and crossovers with the 2023 Taos S, now from $24,999, the Tiguan S from $27,999, and the VW Atlas Cross Sport SE with technology from $39,999. And with finance rates as low as 1.9% available on the Tiguan and Taos, there's something new for every driver at Beadmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Beadmore Imports, New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Sale price before tag, tax title, and associated dealer fees. Special APR rate for qualifying credit through VCI.
News Radio 92.3 reminds you that hurricane season is underway. Forecasters are predicting another above normal year for storms. And the Generator Guys are your local generator provider. Are you prepared? Don't be caught without power for days or even weeks when the storm hits. You should be 1 week ready. And the News Radio 92.3 crew will be live and local with storm coverage on your radio, on your phone, and online. News Radio 92.3 and the Generator Guys are there for you.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Enjoy a family-friendly and free outdoor movie this weekend. Bring your blankets and lawn chairs to Community Maritime Park Friday night for Movies in the Park. Pre-show activities begin at 6 with the movie Black Panther at sunset. See cityofpensacola.com for more info. Or bring your blankets and beach chairs to the Gulfside Pavilion Friday night for Cinemas in the Sand, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority. Finding Nemo begins at sunset. Submit your nonprofit event at newsradio923.com.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola. Online, newsradio923.com, or by downloading the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
And last, but certainly not least, we have Canine Jax. He's a 1.5-year-old Belgian Malinois. His handler is Sergeant James Parson, who is not here today, but Officer Abed is ably filling in with Jax today. And Jax was actually donated by Sergeant Parsons to the department. And Jax, you may, if you've been around for a little bit, if you remember Canine Giannis, he was very photogenic, took lots of pictures. Jax is Canine Giannis's son. And Jax will be dual certified in narcotics detection and tracking.
Before there was the photogenic canine Giannis, there was the photogenic Yanni. But that's back in the day. No relation. So this is Kevin Crispin, the deputy police chief.
Introducing Deputy Laurel.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, call back.
All right. Anyway, I know. That was... introducing the four new canine officers at, let's see, this was Tuesday's press conference, talking also a lot about the shot spotter and other technology. But, yeah, kind of a cool day. And I knew D.C. Reeves was kind of, you know, geeking out on the whole situation. That's always fun to see. I love to see people get excited about stuff. Mayor Reeves, we talked to him yesterday. Welcome back to the show, sir.
We'll always be higher. I really respect that.
You know, as long as you go in knowing that, right, you know that's the case, then you're all good, right?
That's absolutely right.
No, that was a really good day yesterday to have four new canines introduced, and you know, to see that, you know, it saves on it brings all kinds of benefits to the table, and you know, it's something that they only serve for what, like 2 years, 3 years, something like that typically.
Yeah, I remember exactly, but it's not for long. Yeah, it's not a very long. They're all about, as you heard, all about a year and a half old.
Yep.
And remember, I mean, these are. And of course, two of these were donated privately. I mean, this is a $12,000 to $15,000 investment. This is not, you know, the same as at your house. I mean, for all the training that it takes, you know, to put them in the field and put them truly in a line of fire, and to not only keep us safe, but to keep, you know, their handler, their co-pilot safe. You know, there's a lot of training that goes into that and a lot of time, you know, and investment. So not just financially. So excited to get them all out there. They've been on for about a month or so.
You know, one of the other things I wanted to talk with you about is the approval has been given to begin the Pensacola Motor Lodge inspections and negotiations. But I guess DEO, the Department of Economic Opportunity, was here in town. Is that yesterday that you guys were working with them?
Yeah. So you may recall there's been two different projects. This is all Hurricane Sally money, post-Sally resiliency type money. Well, the first bucket of $66 million, 80% of which has to go to Escambia or Santa Rosa. So call it $50 million has to go there. And this is to make us more resilient, you know, to repair things that were broken during Sally and to make sure that if we were hit by another hurricane, we were in better position than we were. And so this happens around the state with, you know, different storms. And so you may recall Hollis T. Williams is our big ask, $36.4 million. And then we have about $10 million at the port and about $5 million for Fricker Center. Over there just off Cervantes near Baptist Hospital. Fortunately, all three of those had enough validity in their eyes that they came and did on-site inspections of all three, as well as the second bucket, which is neighborhood revitalization. And we put in three. Two of those made it through to inspection site as well, and that was $5 million for the potential demo or acquisition of Baptist Hospital and $2.8 million to revitalize Brownsville. And it was honestly in spirit of potentially acquiring this property. I told DEO, I said, you know, we're putting our money where our mouth is. If you're not sure if we believe in this $2.8 million to help revitalize all those storefronts and try to bring life back to the commercial corridor of Cervantes and Brownsville, we're putting our money where our mouth is. We put $1 million up whether this happens or not right now. So, you know, hopefully I think that spoke volumes to them that we're invested in that idea as well.
Were they persuaded at all, or did they seem receptive to the idea that, look, FDOT just put all of this money into the revamping of Cervantes with an effort to slow traffic, calm traffic, protect pedestrians? Whether that's successful or not, it's a different conversation. Whether it was a good project, not, but they've done this already. Therefore, see, we are buying this motor lodge. See, we are investing in this. We have a confluence of entities trying to work on this area. Did that seem persuasive to them?
Yeah, well, and remember, obviously, with the state road, you know, a lot of the nuance of our ask in Brownsville, it doesn't necessarily involve anything curb to curb because it is a state road.
Sure.
But I will tell you, I have apprised Phil Gaynor and FDOT of that we were putting this in, you know, because it's on both sides of the state road, you
right.
know, just to make sure that, you know, we're good partners on that. But look, I think with anything, I mean, this is significant dollars that if I'm the DEO, I'm looking for this to be transformational. And that's why I always talk about Hollis T. Williams from a pure infrastructure water, stormwater position, just that. I mean, we all know all of the problems we had down there for decades. I mean, the first conversation about Hollis T. Williams started in 2004. This has been 20 years. We know all the flooding that happens in that Gillimard, you know, Tarragona
yeah.
area. And we take on water from the county that comes north down to us. Any of that flooding downtown, any of it, has something to do directly or indirectly with the lack of stormwater infrastructure under the interstate. So, you know, these are vital projects. And that's what I tried to relay to them. We had all our technical experts, but, you know, as the mayor, I'm saying, look, the things that we've asked you about, the things that we want to put these much needed dollars into, one, we wouldn't normally afford in our budget. These opportunities don't come along often. And two, they truly could have impactful generational change for us. And that's what I think that they want to see. And that's what I hope that they're persuaded by.
Well, it always sounds good if you're a potential investor to hear, yeah, this is going to be a big end result. You're going to like how this all turns out. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mayor, hang on for just a second. Let's get Candy in here with traffic on the fives.
And not showing any slowdowns or delays right now. Certainly use caution wherever you are. And I said the old Baptist Hospital earlier, not the old West Florida Hospital. I know it's a little slow there as people are making their way in. A little slow on Avalon, too. It looks southbound. It looks like that's been cleared up for the most part, but a little slow as you're heading towards I-10 on Avalon southbound. That's it. If you have traffic tips, 437-1620, 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. You also talked about your trip over to D.C., Washington, D.C., where you were working on talking to people, working on getting the airport terminal approved, $65 to $70 million in funding there, about a third from the feds, third from the state, a third from us through bonding. That all makes sense to me. I have a slightly different question about that project, though, which is I had thought the issue we were really facing right now at the airport was parking and ramp space. And I know we've talked about parking in the past, and that's pretty pressing as well. But ramp space for all of these planes that want to sit overnight in between their flights, basically, how will ramp space, and I assume some of that's going to go away with a new terminal, how will that problem be solved? Do you have an answer for that yet?
Well, look, we have an entire capital improvement plan that certainly we're ready to absorb any of the quote-unquote growing pains that would come with the additional gates. What we know right now is the thing that is the most out of our control of the two things you mentioned and new service and more direct flights is the lack of gates. Within that plan, I mean, understand this is certainly beyond my expertise and more in the math, but what I do know is there is a lot of communication and collaboration amongst the carriers and our airport in terms of what parking is available, what you charge for parking, the fees within the airport, outside the airport. There's a lot of handholding that happens collectively because it kind of makes sense, right? If Delta's going to have X number of flights here or American's going to have X number of flights, they want to make sure that the infrastructure is there for that experience to go well from the time they park the car.
Absolutely.
So all of those things are anticipatory as part of not only just the ask of this terminal, which is the big one, but we're looking at other things. I was talking to FAA folks and advocating. We have a grant in right now for a potential, I think it's about a $4 million, excuse me, maybe it's a $12 million solar canopy that would actually produce about 20% of the power of the airport. That would, and then it would also protect the surface line and make it and put it under shade. And so we're looking at those opportunities all the time. So yeah, I don't want to make it sound like all we're looking at is this gate.
Sure.
We have a multi-year capital plan that would help absorb any of this growth.
And it even made me ask the question, I don't know the answer to the question, is, do we even have adequate land? I know some of there's been elements of the land, like the medical park out on 12th or the sacred part down to the south a little bit. It seems like maybe we're being constrained in, even as we're trying to grow, and maybe grow up is kind of the way we're going to have to do it. Different question that I had for you is, and I thought this is interesting, that there's going to be a stop sign going at Roos and Government. Fine, four-way stops are better than two-way, I get that. Jefferson and Government, you're studying that one by Seville Quarter. Oh my, that is one of the worst intersections from as a driver, I always feel unsafe. And going any direction through that intersection, I always feel unsafe. So please, yes, four-way stop there.
Well, look, I love to be a data nerd and look at all that. And of course, we go do that. We study these things. There's a lot of ramifications about. You don't just go willy-nilly and go pick up, and the mayor thinks that there should be a four-way stop here and you do it.
Right.
Our public works team, who works really hard on a lot of things, they go and study that for many reasons. Not just is it valid or not, because it's worth the couple dollars to put stop signs in.
Right.
There's a lot of other ramifications, where the traffic flows, where does it go now that there's a four-way stop. But what I'll tell you is sometimes it's simplistic, the way you just described it, Andrew. I know that when I'm at those two four-way stops, people stop when they shouldn't anyway, and everyone thinks it's a four-way stop. So I know that's the opposite of data, but that's kind of really how the conversation started, was to say, these are two intersections that are two-way stops. But, I would venture to guess, an enormous portion of people that have the right-of-way that do not have to stop anyway,
right,
which makes it probably as unsafe as anything.
And I know specifically at the one at Jefferson is the view lines are so bad because of the offset to the street.
Yeah.
It's just a weird intersection. And I was very encouraged to hear that you guys are looking at that one for a possibility. We always like to end on the lightning round. First question for you is, when it comes to milkshakes, I'm hoping you like milkshakes. Do you eat vanilla milkshakes? And what is your favorite milkshake flavor?
I do eat vanilla milkshakes, and I would actually say vanilla is my thing. I don't know. Should it be something?
Sorry, yeah. I know Candy likes vanilla milkshakes too, and we had a big argument yesterday about this. By the way, my fault for saying nobody eats a milkshake, they drink it. But okay, fine. Second, and we'll find out which side of the happy line we are on here. When it comes to your cornbread, does your cornbread have sugar or not have sugar in it?
I'm so healthy, that I watch my figure that I would say no sugar if you were offering me one of the two.
But, does your mouth prefers the honestly, no sugar, or your waistline prefers the no sugar?
Right. Yeah. Excuse me. Did I not delineate between those
gotcha.
Two? Yeah.
All right. And
yeah, fair assessment.
Last one. When you brush your teeth, water first, toothpaste first, or no water at all?
I go, let me say, you're making me think about this. I only brush teeth left-handed. That's one of my weird things.
Okay, weird.
I go toothpaste first.
And you use water.
Yeah, water. Yeah, then water. Yes, okay. Then water, right. Yeah.
This is going to be our fun topic. I'm sorry, go ahead, what?
I said, I'm not that crazy. I definitely got water on there.
All right, I'm going to give you an early plug for our conversation later and tell you this. I've tried it with the no water way, which is what the experts recommend, and it's actually kind of interesting. So give it a try and tell me what you think. D.C. Reeves is the mayor of Pensacola. He joins us every Wednesday at this time. Mr. Mayor, thanks for all the work you're doing to make the city better. I appreciate it, and certainly for the time spent this morning. We'll talk to you next week.
Of course, guys. I'll give it a shot. Thanks
so much. Hey, I'm looking for a report back on the toothpaste without water approach, because I know Candy and I are both on the same page on
it's
this.
It's weird. It doesn't seem like it would work. Like I said, it was like a BA's mom that was like, here, try this toothpaste.
Yeah,
I was like, okay.
It only feels strange the first couple of times, and then it's just, just good. That's all it is.
That goes for a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it does go for a lot of things. Hey, if, you've got a nice import, you pay a little extra to get it, a Porsche, Mercedes, a BMW, a Genesis, Jaguar, a Lexus, you might think that naturally you've got to take it to the dealership because they're the ones who work on those cars. Well, they're not the only ones who work on those cars. And no, you don't have to take it to the dealership to get it serviced. You don't have to go across the water if it's a Mobile dealership. That's time and money. You can take it to Bobby Likas Auto Service and save on both right here on Davis Highway. They work on imports. They work on domestics. They work on trucks, even the diesel engines. No problem. Not everybody does. They work on those. No problem. Take it into them, and particularly take it in when there's not a problem. Like, take it in for the routine maintenance, the scheduled maintenance, so you can prevent the big problems like you do with your body. You take it to the doctor periodically to get the checkup to avoid the big stuff. Same thing. That's the philosophy. Prevent the bad stuff. It's in their website name, carclinicservice.com. Bring it to them healthy so you don't have to bring it to them broken. 2021, Carfax rated them a top-rated service center, 4.5 average reviews or above. Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway.
The cost of healthcare is all in the news. Tune in this morning at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as ProHealth will be the guest and discussing how ProHealth medical membership programs can help you take the stress and cost out of healthcare. That's this morning at 10 as ProHealth is the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hurricane season is here, and making sure you're ready is key if you need to evacuate. Evacuations typically don't have to be hundreds of miles. Having at least half a tank of gas ensures you can evacuate the necessary tens of miles to a safe, sheltering location when a storm threatens your community. Check with nearby friends and family now and have a plan in place for what to do if you are ordered to evacuate. Visit halfwayfullhalfwaythere.com to learn about more ways to be prepared.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College, on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both the Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Never miss a breaking news story or important weather update again. Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
I'll teach
you think, Candy, you can eat this lab chicken?
You know I will.
They've approved the chicken grown from real chicken cells under the right circumstances in the special growth broth or
whatever.
That's
great. So we don't have to raise animals. That's going to be cheaper.
That's the idea. Well, yeah, that part you don't have right. You know the price? $20 a pound. And they're saying they don't even see how they could scale it at this point to be much better than that. So this is basically going to be the solution for all of your, you know, really chicken addicted vegans who don't want to eat, you know, food with a face.
Sure.
But who also make an awful lot of money because, you know, that's all they have to do with their life is to make a bunch of money. The wealthy
Americans.
Liberals are going to eat their, you know, no range chicken. I think that's what we should call it. No range chicken.
You make me feel like a Democrat, the liberal kind, like on this show, and it makes me mad, as you know. But no, that's not the case. Okay, have you ever had tofu or Beyond Meat or any of these things?
Well, so this is different. This is not fake meat. This is actual meat, just made by humans in the lab, not made by, you know, walk, 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 walk. That's not to be too scientific about it, but.
That's really funny.
So, no, it's actually not even fake meat. It's real meat. So it has all of the right. And then they shape it so that you can get whatever end result you want. You know, shape like a dinosaur, shape like a chicken nugget.
Right.
You know, shape it like a steak so you could have chicken-shaped steak. I don't know. All kinds of possibilities. David Wayne is in the newsroom. David, I think you, based on your reaction, you really like my no-range chicken.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
But. Oh, no range, yeah. Or cage.
Well, Tropical Storm Brett is racing towards the Caribbean, and forecasters don't expect that to become a hurricane anymore. They say it could still pack a punch. The National Hurricane Center says it could reach the Caribbean by the end of the week. And there's also a tropical depression right behind Brett. Meteorologists say that could become Tropical Storm Cindy. The State Department announcing a new visa restriction policy that's aimed at keeping foreign governments from helping fugitives escape the U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken releasing a statement yesterday announcing the Fallon Smart Policy. They named it after a 15-year-old Oregon girl that was killed by a hit-and-run driver in 2016. And the officials believe the suspected driver was a Saudi national that had fled the country with the help of the government. And the man accused of killing a couple of people at an EDM concert in central Washington was reportedly high on mushrooms during that shooting. Court records from Grant County there claim that 26-year-old James Kelly had taken hallucinogenic mushrooms and then shot two people at the George Amphitheater campgrounds last Saturday.
Okay. David, thanks so much for the update. President Trump says that his kids will not serve in his administration if he gets reelected. So unlike the first time around where it was all of his kids because they were good at their job. I always disliked the criticism that was just like nepotism. I think it's like hard work to be anything associated with the White House. And I thought most of them did a pretty good job of it.
I thought they did fine.
And I think it's honestly, one of the testimonies to President Trump's capabilities is his pretty outstanding children. I mean, you know, that's how you judge a person. How did their children turn out? Now, it's as much a testimony to, you know, his wife or wives, but still, you know, there's an element to that. But he says, no, that's enough for my family. It's too painful, the family. My family's been through hell. This is in that interview with Fox News and Bret Baier the other day. So some of them have been at the events, but they've been notably absent. You know, Ivanka hasn't been around. Melania hasn't been at the campaign events and all that. And, hey, based on the first term and the follow-up to it, I can understand why a lot of, you know, them went like, just once, Dad, that was enough. You know, I mean, I certainly understand that. 437-1620, 437-1620. Oh, I thought this is just kind of an interesting little note. If you're getting ready to sell your house, and I haven't talked with Christina about this, but I'm sure, you know, it seems pretty accurate. Dark, dusty, like, not charcoal, but like a dark gray in the kitchen can boost the value of your home $2,500. Dark gray in the living room, about $1,800. Having a white kitchen lowers your home value by about $600. And using a terracotta brown color in the bathroom, like kind of a real dark brown, but not, I don't know, not wood dark, but like a mix of beige and wood dark, $1,600 boosting to your, you know, because that's fashionable now. Because
listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
There could be mystery entities thinking about putting in an offer on the OLF8 property. Also, Niceville woman sentenced to life in prison. We'll tell you about those stories right after this update from Fox News.